Hello, everyone. This is Donovan LaCroixy. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Hip Hop, Let's Talk R&B, and Let's Talk What's Going On in the Community. And returning to the show, but she's making her 2021 debut, it's gospel artist Ms. Sarah G. What's up?
Thank you.
You're back.
I am good. Happy New Year everybody listening, but to you as well. I'm glad to be back on.
Yes.
Nice and early.
Yes. You're making your 2021 debut, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Can't go wrong with that. It's been an amazing year already. You know, we still have to be grateful because there's a lot of things to, you know, be happy about. God is still good. So I'm glad to be back. Have this opportunity.
Yes. And listeners that don't know, she came on our show in July in the summer. We talked some good gospel topics, and we're going to do that again today because a lot of listeners might think, well, I thought this was just a hip-hop show. Okay, but listeners, here's the trick. It's Excedra. So Excedra could mean anything. Me and Sarah could be talking about tea. We could be talking about spirits and wine. But no, we're going to be talking about church topics today. And not really so much church, but we're going to talk about, you know, gospel music, her music, of course. And she is working on music. You are working on music still, right, Sarah?
Most definitely. Yeah. I have some things in the vault. Wow. It's just... in the process of getting it done with all that's happening too.
I know. Do you quickly want to tell, in case there are new listeners, of how you quickly got started and how long you've been singing to us?
Yeah, of course. I'll do this very brief so it's not too drawn out. But, you know, I started when I was a teen. I'm not too far from that now. You know, I'm not too old yet. But I started this out just to, you know, give youth especially and young adults a different outlet for music. Because, you know, in the gospel world, if anybody knows about it, you know, we're starting to do more like urban style, like pop style, you know, even hip hop style music, just like different things that, you know, the youth and young adults actually listen to. And I just wanted them to know that it's still cool to be a Christian. So what better way to take some of those cool upbeat sounds and put it with my faith-based lyrics? And so that's how I kind of started out. And honestly, even kids love this stuff. So I've just been blessed to do that for quite a few years now. And that was really why I wanted to. It all has a purpose. It's not just to be, you know, the next cool singer or this or that. Mostly mine is all about, you know, ministry first. Mm-hmm. And all that cool stuff is great.
Do you ever think you'd give the people what they want to hear or no?
Well, I definitely take into account some of the things they want to hear, but it obviously within my restrictions of, does it go with what I do? Because that's who I believe I'm called to be. You know, I'm not like this R&B singer or love song singer. The love I'll talk about is always faith-based, and that's just my journey, you know. I think that we all kind of decide our own thing, but that's what I decided for myself. I think that's what God wanted me to do, and I enjoy it.
What if there's a listener right now that asks, well, what's the difference? Can't you still be a Christian and talk about love-making music? Can you still be a Christian and talk about love-making music versus a relationship with Jesus, or no?
Well, I think that actually we can talk about everything that exists in the world, you know, but with that faith-based aspect. So I know lots of gospel artists who actually do love songs, but like they have a wife. So they'll like sing to their wife and they'll sing about, you know, a healthy relationship. So I don't see anything wrong with stating those things, but you definitely won't hear from me something that's like boyfriend-girlfriend type relationship or something just that contradicts the word. Like it's more set for a certain audience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, listeners, this is not your girl to be the next Beyonce or the next, you know what I'm saying? And not to say, I mean, if she, okay, but can there still be a positive message having your boyfriend and your girlfriend holding hands and going to the movies? Or not necessarily, in case the listeners probably say, well, what do you mean?
Well, let's just say this. I'm not called to do those songs. I believe that what I am put here to do was, you know, faith-based stuff. And to be honest, there's so much of that. Like, let's be real. Like, everybody sings those songs. So this is just what I choose to do. Now, as for listening to it myself, I don't mind clean, good love songs. Because, of course, if I'm in a relationship with somebody, those things are great if it's not contradicting, like, you know, the relational aspects in the word. But for me to sing it myself, it's not really my focus. Mm-hmm. My purpose is more faith-based, because there's just more substance in that for me. Mm-hmm. Personally, that's my journey. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind listening to some of the good songs that mm-hmm. people put out.
Yeah. And listeners, again, and I can only think of Beyonce, even though I know some of these artists is too, but actually it's very hard. Okay. So, okay, listeners, she's not your Jhené Aiko. She's not your Sweetie. She's not those type of artists. And no disrespect to those artists and people. They have different art and different messages. But that's not Miss Sarah G having somebody in the background dancing 1-2, 1-2.
Yeah.
And, you know, two naked guys, you know, none of that.
Yeah, no, that's not my kind of flow.
Okay, so we got to know a little bit of her, but we are going to be expecting your, what do you call it, more music again. Well, do you think we'll expect a new single this year or a project this year in 2021 or no?
I don't want to put anything out there just yet, just because of the very up and down times, I'll call it. I don't know what the right word is for it, but with me personally, my music is done by others, like, as in, like, the production or, like, the recording. I don't do it in my own home. So it really is dependent on other people, too. So that's why I haven't put, like, a solid date. But they should still keep up with me, because I do post covers regularly. I do post little motivational speeches here and there, like little one-minute clips online. So I keep people still engaged. I just personally haven't had the chance recently, having a baby and then now with all the stuff going on, to actually solidify some of the whole recording new stuff yet. But I do have music ready to record.
Okay.
So that's the plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I praise him.
Just like that and more.
That's her single. It's called Praise, right?
Give them praise, yeah.
Kingdom Praise. Okay, in case listeners want to check that out, it's called Kingdom Praise, and it's good to praise Jesus in a times like these that are very tough for people, right, Ms. Sarah G? It's very, very tough for people at these
times. It is.
But we should praise them.
Exactly, and I mean, that's kind of another reason before all these things happened. You know, we all know there's just things we all struggle with even before all of these times. And so that also motivated me to do these songs, because people would be so surprised how uplifting you feel when you listen to the right content at the right time. So instead of like listening to a breakup song, if I'm going through a breakup, I listen to like praising songs, because God is so good. Mm-hmm. And that helps you feel just nourished. For mm-hmm. me, it really helps. So.
Yes.
It's
yes.
another reason I do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's another reason. And listeners, again, she does have a point. I mean, okay, for the listeners that know their secular music, for example, Jhené Aiko BS versus Kingdom Praise, I think I'll put, I praise him versus BS. I don't want to hear about a breakup. What do you call it? Trying to get over somebody I can't get over, and then I'm back up on my, you know what? Not in 2021. And we shouldn't have to deal with that BS in 2021 anyways. So.
There's definitely a time for this type of, positive, just unconditional love type music, and that's what I promote.
So we're gonna talk today, okay? You ready to have just a conversation of Christian-based topics today? Christian-based, again, listeners. I tell this up front to the listeners. Again, yes, this is Let's Talk Hip Hop, Let's Talk R&B. Yes, I do. If you are looking for more secular-based stuff, you can scroll down the archives, but we do have to give the Christians, a little platform too. We do have to make their voices heard too. And we do got to talk about stuff going on in the church as well, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely agree.
Okay. So I wanted to get your opinion on something, right? Okay. So these artists as well, I wouldn't want to call, and listen, we're not judging people of what they're doing, and there's some really positive secular artists. So this is not us throwing tomatoes at anyone. I know a lot of listeners probably throw tomatoes at me, but this is not us throwing tomatoes at anyone. And I want to warn people, this is not us preaching, go back to church, go get saved, repent. I don't do that. Ms. Sarah G doesn't do it either. We're just having a conversation. And I wanted to get your opinion on Mace actually returning to church. Well, actually, he had a church from, and listeners that don't know the rapper Mace, he retired from hip hop music back in 1999. So I was like 13 when he retired. And then he opened up a church. And then 5 years later, he came back. And Mace, I totally understand the struggle there. I'm not judging you on that. I really understand the struggle there because it's like you're doing, you're a pastor of this church. And by the way, have you ever heard Mace's preaching, Sarah?
I don't think I have. You're gonna have to send me something.
Oh, his preaching is pretty good. Back in the days, and he said this, if you are finding somewhere, this is actually a quote from him, if you're finding somewhere that's not good for you, find somewhere that's good for you. And I think that's a pretty good statement, pretty deep statement. That's true. If you're at a church where you're not getting what you want, find somewhere else, right, Sarah?
I think that every church is not necessarily right for some people. You gotta find the one that suits you, your needs. And of course, for me, I look at the doctrine a lot too, because I want somebody who's preaching directly from the word, the Bible, not, fake doctrine.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Mace is going back. He's taking over Crefto Dollars Church. The announcement was made in, I believe, this month. It was made the first week of January.
Oh, wow.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't see a problem. Okay, let me just backtrack. If it's for the right motives, I'll agree. But if it's not for the right motives, Mace, and Mace, you've been talked about. Word on the street is you've been talked about. You are on some app too, showing people naked pictures and all that stuff. I just hope that this thing is right, what you're doing. I just hope that it's not money driven. It's not Crefto Dollar saying, you know what, I want to retire, give Mace the church. He has the experience. But do you think sometimes church can be a business, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can. There's so many types of churches now, so many denominations, just so many exist, like mega churches, smaller churches. And I definitely think that some are unfortunately in it for the wrong reason, so it has become a business. And don't get me wrong, I think they need that kind of structure, especially as it gets bigger, where, there's some sort of, way that they handle finances, for example, or all the sorts of things that go into a business kind of seems like it would overlap in a way, There's some strategies you can take, but the motive behind church should be to win souls and to come together. So the minute that it becomes about money and about just power, it's not really church anymore. So I think that we have to be careful of that.
Well, Mace, I'll tell you this. I'm going to agree if it's for the right motives. If, and as I said, I can't judge. Maybe it's for the right motives. Maybe you really do miss the church days where you had a church, but the problem was your wife left you. Not the you were putting that out there. Your wife did leave you, and then it just got too confusing. You wanted the secular music, and then your church, you were having problems with your church. You see what I mean, Sarah? When you, what do you call it? When it's, remember, I was asking you offline, like off air too, and I'm going to talk about another artist. Do you think you should be an artist and be a pastor? Do you think it works?
I think the only way that really works would be like what type of artist you are, you know? I think we just nowadays, especially, we're getting like the wrong idea and concept of what a pastor is, that we think that anything goes, and this is not to single out anybody here at all, but like we have to remember that it comes with a call from God, and not just anybody should be in that position. But I do think it works to be an artist and sing and whatnot if you have that time, but I believe that, I mean, automatically, I just assume that you're doing like maybe gospel music or something, because anything else would basically contradict what you're teaching and preaching.
But
So
can
I
you
think it just depends
but
on
can you
what the
do
artist is doing.
can you do both though? Let's say if Mace actually stepped back in the church, but he said, you know what? Again, I want to do a hip hop album, but I'm not gonna swear on it. It happened to him before. I think back in 2004, he released, I think, his third album. After two albums, listeners, he retired from the secular industry, as I'm gonna talk, from a gospel point of view now, the secular industry. And then in 2004, he came back and he didn't swear. But do you think it could work? Let's say if Mace said again, I do want to work on a final hip hop album. Or do you think it's really risky?
I, based on well, my faith-based beliefs, I think that it doesn't work together. I know maybe people will think differently, but I would not go to a church where somebody is doing both. That's, to me, that's basically a red flag, because I you can't, you're either for God or you're against him, and whatever is not for God is against God. So you can't tell me you're a pastor and then you're doing a hip hop album that has nothing to do with God. And I know maybe there won't be swearing and whatnot, but positive music is different from gospel, true gospel music, because a lot of people misrepresent even gospel, and so it's given people the wrong idea of what church is and all sorts of stuff. And I don't personally think God is pleased with that. So for me, I wouldn't find myself in church that's like that. You know, I wouldn't stay.
What if listeners say, well, it's just music, Sarah?
Well, music is very powerful, as you can see, because you can find maybe one place where you won't hear music in the background of a mall, a workplace, anywhere. So I think that it has a lot more power than people think. You know, it plays in your mind. The lyric content is very important. So, like, again, I see nothing wrong with maybe there's a lot of artists that sing and pastor, but usually it's like faith-based music too. But I just find if it's not that, it would contradict completely.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mace. I'll tell you this. I'll agree as again, if it's good with good intentions, and if you really, and congratulations, you did get back together with your wife. She's on
Oh,
support
that's
of
awesome.
building this church. Yeah, building, sorry. It's Crypto Dollars Church, listeners. So, I mean, building as in, well, it still could be built. The church can still get bigger, or there's room to build more, don't you think, Sarah? If you take over a church, don't you have a different vision for the church?
Yeah, oftentimes, but sometimes the pastors try to find somebody with a similar vision too. So I guess it would depend, you know, but
So,
It's a mega church. His church is mega church, isn't it?
yeah, Crafto Dollars Church is a mega, 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 big, big, big,
Yeah,
big
it's a
church.
big church,
Yes.
so.
So maybe Mace has a different vision, but congratulations with getting back with your wife. And then you guys, I believe, will take over. I don't know when Crafto Dollar is retiring, listeners. Don't ask me that, but he is taking over. And I'm going to agree if this is, if this is genuine. If it's not genuine, then I big disagree. What do you think, Sarah? Do you agree? Or do you think it doesn't matter, Donovan? Let him just preach whatever. But I know your answer already. But just in case, for the listeners' sake.
Well, you know me, but for the listener's sake, I would say, yeah, he should definitely have the right intentions. And I hope I didn't get misunderstood earlier with what I said. If somebody, to me, if somebody has changed, like, I would support the movement if, like, he's not doing the hip hop stuff anymore. But I don't think he can do two at once because it's just contradicts the word to me. So, like you said, if he is in for the right intentions and he's moved away from his past, for me personally, then I could see, like, we all have a past and we all do things that's not necessarily, a certain way with the right with the word, but that's what God's word is there for. That's what God is there for, to change us. But I believe strictly that you need to be changed and transformed and a true man and woman of God if you're stepping on that stage to preach. And if you're not going to do that, I don't think anybody, him or anyone else or myself, should be up there, because that is very important who is standing up there. And that's all I can say.
And I agree with you, and that's why I'm not stepping on there.
I love the honesty. I really love
That's
the
why,
honesty.
no, but it's true. Okay, listeners, let's, okay. And I wish I had a talk show, because I would say, raise your hand if you've never listened to secular music. I bet you half of the audience would just raise, I would raise my hands up twice because I
Well,
listened
yeah.
to it.
And it's not, it's not supposed to be like legalistic like that. We come to church, we come to God because we want transformation, So it's nothing to like judge people or make you feel bad.
And look, we're not trying to make people feel bad. I'm telling you honestly, honesty, I couldn't see myself being a pastor. Yes, to get the word, to receive the word, you build positive relationships with Brother Mark, brothers, oh, sorry, I was about to say Brother Susan, Sister Susan, Sister Susan, Sister Debbie, you build positive relationships. There are positives. And why I'm going into this, because we're going to talk the next topic very, very soon. So Mace, again, I hope your motives are pure. I mean, I can't judge you because I go through some of the similar things you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really judge. I just hope it's for the right reasons. Congratulations. Agree if it's pure. Disagree if it's just money. And you're already turning off people. And the church doesn't have a good taste with some people when it's about money.
Yeah,
And Sarah knows what I
unfortunately.
mean. I'm not dissing church, but a lot of people are very turned off with church and money. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Now,
Absolutely.
I want to talk about Justin Bieber now. Well, Justin Bieber slammed this, though. He said he's not studying to be a pastor. OK Magazine said that he was studying to be a pastor. And Carl Lentz, well, I'm not talking about Carl Lentz for the Christian community. They can research all that happened with Carl Lentz. I don't want to dive into that because I don't want to paint the show like we're just gossiping and ripping into people, because that's not my intention. I can understand people who do struggle with adultery or certain things. I can totally understand that. Is it right? No, it's not, but Sarah knows what I'm saying. But he said that,
Definitely.
what do you call it? That Justin Bieber will continue to do music. And you and I were just talking about it. But Justin Bieber slammed back to Twitter and OK Magazine saying, I'm not going to be studying to be a pastor. I'm going to be continuing to do music. Well, first of all, I mean, if Justin Bieber wants to study to be a pastor, I don't find anything wrong with that. What's your thoughts to that? I know listeners would have mixed reaction because he's already given hints that he's working toward, more Christian music. Holy, 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 ho. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it would be amazing if he did gospel music. I'm kind of with you on that one. I don't see a problem with him doing that. But my only problem, like the last topic we were on, is that when people choose to step up there, whether it's Justin Bieber, whether it's me, whether it's you, whoever it is, you need to be fully transformed and changed, because part of the reason people are leaving the church is because the wrong people are up there. And it's not to single out anybody, but if you're not really changed and transformed, like the Word of God says you have to be, you should not be on that platform. Being a pastor can't just, to me, be taught by theological perspectives and all that. You have to have a call, and you have to be practicing that word as well. You know, it comes with many different parts. So if he's at that place, or when he gets to that place, I see absolutely nothing wrong with him doing that. But I think that you would see certain things, like him even giving up that music he does, because it just wouldn't, it would contradict each other, those two positions. So it's not that he can't do it. He can definitely do it. I just think if we're going to step in that role, we have to be transformed completely. So you'll see it by our actions.
And listeners, don't get me wrong. We're not telling you can't do it. Well, I already know for me, I can't do that. So if I'm Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, or what do you call it, or what's his name, Mace, I couldn't do it. I'm sorry, I couldn't. Because if I'm struggling already to let go of this, I'd just say, you know what, God, I'm really having a struggle. And again, this is not legalism or legalistic saying you have to give it up or we're not preaching to you, but I know for me, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Sarah, I
And to
couldn't.
be honest, in a role like that, you got to be all in, because it's a spiritual battle, you know. We're not against people here, but it's a spiritual battle. You have to be all for God in this, because trust me, that devil is going to try to attack people that are trying to do better and who are trying to be Christian, who are trying to be, you know, faith-based. I know that firsthand, that that happens a lot. So I don't even think anybody should want that position if they're not going to be all in for God and sold out.
But what do you say to the listeners that say, well, what about Dietrich Haddon and what about Lecrae? They're, what do you call it? They're working with a bunch of secular artists.
The same thing goes for them too. That's what I would say to them. Same thing goes for them too.
And listeners, yes, Lecrae. What do you call it? Lecrae. Well, Lecrae's been bashed for years. Oh, Sarah, did I ever tell you? I mean, I think I told you this. Okay, and yes, this is to the Christian people, to the Christian people. I had a dream about Lecrae. I think it was 4 years ago. And I think he started swearing in his music. No lie. I'm
Oh,
not lying.
wow.
He started swearing in his music. I dreamed that 4 years ago, and I'm like, wow.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, can you do it? You see, already, me and Sarah, as I'm talking, listeners, or anybody that's, let's say, a Christian artist, a secular artist, thinking to give it up full time for the ministry, give it up all together. That's what Montel Jordan did, remember? This is how we do it. And then he gave it up full time. Well, I mean, he still works with, like, actually, he Montel Jordan, I can give him a 100% thumbs up. He did a single, I think, with Lecrae once, and that was it. Mostly he's a pastor full time. So if you're, like Sarah said, you're all in it, or you're gonna struggle and you're gonna have a lot of people talking about you, and especially in the entertainment industry. Oh gosh, that's just, so people like Lecrae, Dietrich Haddon, Tasha Cobbs, I don't know.
I think it goes for all of us. We have to be all in. And I don't necessarily support every single feature I see people do either. I mean, that's my personal opinion based on what I believe and based on what I see, but I'm not saying not to, you know, be around other artists, not to maybe even work with them in some capacity, but I don't condone everything that some of the gospel artists do either. So you kind of just have to speak your opinion, speak your mind on that based on what you believe. And, you know, a lot of my stuff comes from faith-based, like the word, reading the word and studying that. But at the end of the day, this is what artists do.
Yep.
Regardless.
Yep. 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 And what if there is a listener right now that says, you know what, Sarah, I don't agree with you guys. I think it's, what do you call it? We're all doing music. We're all enjoying ourselves. What's the problem with Lecrae working with Ty Dolla $ign? What's the problem with Lecrae working with Dan Lay or John Legend or Jhené Aiko?
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem with that?
Well, I think that there are going to be many problems with it. I won't go into it too much, but I guess the biggest thing is that the platforms that they represent are completely different from what a true, I guess, gospel artist would be. And I don't think that it's wise to lead your followers to that direction, because that's all people do. Like, I maybe might have not even heard about them, but now I'm listening to their stuff and thinking, you know, it's okay, especially people who are baby converts and new to the faith. I think this is the most crucial part of it. You know, we can lead people astray thinking that this is normal and okay when it's just not. Some of the songs that they unfortunately sing in the Christian faith is inappropriate, just to be straight up, right?
Yeah.
And even in the secular world, because some people don't let their children listen to some people's music because it's just not appropriate for that age.
Yes.
So when you're a Christian, there's a lot of things that become inappropriate. And to me, I just think it's like sending your followers there. And it's very, I think it's irresponsible to some degree. But again, it's what they do and that's what they do. But this is my personal belief. I think there's other ways to win people, because, you know, some people use the argument, well, we're trying to be, you know, supported and win their audience or win them and stuff, but I think that it can sometimes do more damage than good. I just hope that whatever they're doing, they're being led by God, because ultimately that's what matters. God knows if it's appropriate or not, and as long as we as gospel artists are led by that, then we shouldn't have issues. But that's why I say we and anybody else doing God's work needs to be totally sold out and totally led by God, because then there's no point. Then it's about us, ourselves, and getting money and all these different things. Those are nice add-ons to have. You know, we need to live, we need to make money and so forth, but it should always be about God. If you're a gospel artist, if you're a preacher, if you're doing God's work, it needs to be about God, period.
I heard a gospel artist say that the reason why I don't sing a lot of gospel artists is because I don't get enough money for it. If I change it up, it would be good. What are your thoughts to that? He still does. He still is a gospel artist. I'm not going to put that gospel artist name out there because I don't do stuff like that. But what are your thoughts to that?
Well, being a gospel artist myself, I just believe, like, you just need to realize that you're probably not going to make certain amounts of money with just music or whatever it is you're doing. But I think that because it matters more, putting out godly substance, I mean, even secular artists do more than one job. You see them acting, you see them, you know, making perfume lines, you see them making clothing lines. Like, find other cool outlets to make money. You don't have to necessarily make it by just singing. You know what I mean? That's my belief, based on the fact that we still need to do these things. We still need music there for people to listen to, gospel music, right? And if it's not going to make the money we want, we still need to do it, but find other outlets, you know, find other ways. People who are doing well and successful anyways, they always have more than one source of income. It's not just going to be strictly music and expect to get paid for that only. So it's a kind of interesting creative way to think too, like do more. Unfortunately, we don't get as much in the gospel world, but I hear a lot of people who don't really make certain money in the secular world too, so gotta find other outlets.
And that's why people write for people, and like you said, that's why people go to other avenues and do other avenues. Like for me, I work at a radio station, but I like to do podcasting. I like to do so much more. There's more to life than radio. There's more to life than singing. I want to experience that. You know what I'm saying, Sarah?
Agreed, agreed. And then, you know, eventually sometimes you do get to a point where it's sustainable to just work that one job and do music. But it doesn't get there right away. For even somebody like Michael Jackson, it didn't get there, okay? You have to you have to put time, work, energy into it. And unfortunately, sometimes it feels like, you know, you have to put more as a gospel artist. But this is where people need to be separated from. You're either doing God's work for God and to win souls more than money, or you're doing it for money, fame, and power, and you should just step down. Or go do secular stuff, because this ministry should be about ministry, if you get what I mean. If you're going to do God's work, it needs to be about God more than you. I love the label God over money for that. It says it right there. You were putting God over money, period.
Now, one more question I want to ask you. I had this question from a friend of mine. I won't say her name, but she asked, and she wants to ask you that, what if Chris Brown gave you a call one day and said, hey, Ms. Sarah G, can I work with you? Can I work on a single with you? Would you go background? Like, if Chris Brown wanted your vocals on a background single, would you do it?
Firstly, a background single? Definitely no. Maybe if he converted to Christianity by then or something, maybe. I would definitely say I'd pray about it. Like other artists, I think they should pray about it too. Because, okay, so you gave that example, but I have been asked by like other more local, you know, not as popular artists before who are not necessarily, you know, gospel artist, but at the time in that experience with them, it seemed like it would more so help them than do anything for me. Like their fan base isn't really like a certain level, so I felt like maybe if I did work with them, it wouldn't be a problem because I'm probably going to witness to them more than they can actually witness my following. But even then, I didn't go through with it. So, I don't want to bash people who have done this and artists who are gospel that are doing this, but unless God told me with like an audible voice that that was fine, I couldn't see myself doing that because it just, it's very contradicting to me. But I can see why in some instances, maybe if God spoke to them and told them to do that, then fine. But in this specific question, I personally wouldn't see myself working with him unless, of course, like I said, maybe he's converted by then. Because these artists, listen, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we all can get saved. So you just never know. And I think that if we saw some of these guys come over to the gospel world, it would be amazing. You know, they have great talent. Amazing talent.
But what if Chris Brown said, I'm already saved, Miss Sarah G. I'm already saved.
Okay, hey, you know what? I probably more so have a conversation with him than actually work with him in that kind of way. I can say that. I'm not going to, like, shun anybody. But to be honest, I can't see the whole working with them and doing that at this point. But I think that sometimes we do need to have more conversations with people who are open and interested to that. Because this is how you plant seeds anyways, about God.
So what if Drake said, I'll pay you $5 million to do it? No, I'm okay, I'm bad.
There is no way. No amount of money, no amount of fame. Because to be honest, I don't know how to say it. I guess I don't really even care about that. Like, I don't care about fame and stuff. Especially as a gospel artist and a Christian, I know whether I get persecution now or later that that's that's what's just going to happen, because that's biblical. People hated Jesus and he did absolutely nothing. So could you imagine me, who might mess up sometimes or whatnot? People just dislike you for being a Christian. So to me, being famous off of that, like, those things don't matter to me. I'm trying to make sure that Jesus is the one that people remember when they hear me sing or talk or anything, because without him, I believe and I know, based on what has happened to me, that I would basically be nowhere. You know, like, I can't wake myself up in the morning. He does. My creator gave me life. So to me, no amount of money, none of that stuff. No, I'm not into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't even have to sleep on that. Mm-hmm. It's just, no thanks. I'd be nice. Thank you so much, but no thanks. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of end that off, like, I've had other people as well before, a long time when I first started music, trying to get me to do, like, secular music, be in these girl groups, all sorts of stuff. And I haven't gone that direction. So that kind of tells you where my mind is at. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into that.
Yep. And listeners, it's okay that she's not into that. And Drake and Chris Brown, again, I brought that question up. I'm not saying Drake or Chris Brown have reached out or saying, would you like to do a song? Well, they would already say they're already saved. And to each his own, right? To each his own. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just being a neutralist, Sarah, so don't take me on, literally.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. I get you.
But maybe they are saved. According to them, maybe they are saved. We can agree to disagree. Now,
If we go with the whole relativism type stuff that is pushed in this society, sure. But for me, there's a very clear cut. You're either saved or you're not. And you can find out who is by the word of God. So just read your Bible. And that's my belief personally. Mm. But I don't think you can be, you have to either be sold out for God or not. You're either saved or you're not. Some people think they're saved, even in the Christian faith, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
You got a lot of you got a lot of wolves in sheep clothing. Period.
Exactly.
Period. Okay. Okay. So listen, we took up half the time, and I hope, listeners, you all got that, because we're not going into it more. She said it. She said it twice. I know I was being a little bit of a neutralist and a nag, trying to convince her to say, to work with Drake or Chris Brown. She already answered it. If it doesn't line up with the biblical word of God, she cannot do it. And that's a real gospel artist to me. That is my opinion. That's just my, and some of you might think, well, you know, she's full of it because she says that. But then yet, if she was presented with money, I know how some of you listeners are thinking, she would do it.
Whether you do or you don't, people will always have a problem with you. So trust me, I am used to that.
Yeah.
All I can do is be honest and say what I believe. And, you know, it is what it is. That's just me personally.
Okay. So now we're going to talk. This is probably the meat of why we were talking about all these things. Now, I've been watching this thing, this series recently. It's the Jude 3 Project, Why I Don't Go to Church. And shout out to that woman. I'm trying to reach out to her to see if I can get her on the show to talk with her. But we're not stealing your concepts, Lisa, so don't throw shade. I'm just saying, we're just talking about this. And I think this is a very important conversation for even me and Sarah to have with the listeners right now. Now, they gave, and I apologize, listeners, I asked this the other day, and I know I was jumping all over the place with gospel artist Omega Edwards, so I felt I did injustice by introducing this topic, but now, since I kind of feel out Ms. Sarah G, and me and her know each other, we know each other for a while, so I can talk to her about this type of stuff, and she can give such detailed answers, and it's more of an in-depth discussion. So, listeners, I hope you forgive me for the other day for Omega Edwards, where I was jumping all over the place. But now you and I have been watching Reasons Why Reasons Why I Don't Go to Church. Basically, they gave their reasons of why they don't go to church. Now, what did you think when you watched this? Like me, I already know, although I see a lot of their points where they come where they're coming from. Is there a good reason to leave the church altogether and say, you know what, God, forget this. I can't do this no more.
Well, biblically, you know, as much as we feel sometimes, because I can relate to leaving certain churches or church, period, biblically, we should not. You know, it says not to forsake the assembly. It says that we need that fellowship with other like-minded Christians. We do need that. People got the wrong idea sometimes, though, that church isn't just a building. We are actually the church. So whether it's two or three gathered, it says there he is in the midst in the word. So church doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to that big mega church. Okay, but I do believe that we need to be in fellowship and in an assembly because God wants us to stay nourished. It's like going to school. You know, you could be smart without school, but you go there to educate yourself and to just get stronger and deeper in what you're doing. So that's what church really should be, you know. So I don't think leaving completely and never going back is a healthy concept for our spiritual walk. But I can say I can definitely relate sometimes to not wanting to go to specific churches or just the very reasons that came up even in those videos of why people say they don't want to go as well.
And listeners, one example, one guy said his eyes were open. Like, he felt a connection when he did go. Like, he feels like the connection piece was missing. And my favorite part of the video, reasons not to go. And listeners, I'll try to put a clip of that if you want to see that, where the girl seeing the church toxicity. I love that word. The church toxicity. Now, have you ever been to a we're not throwing names out, but have you ever been to a church toxicity, Sarah, where you just want to leave that church? You just can't wait till the sermon was over post-COVID. You just couldn't wait till that time. Click 2 o'clock. Okay, bye, gone. Too toxic for me.
Let me just tell you that what people need to realize is people are people everywhere you go. So just like you have that one boss you don't like, or you have, you know, that one coworker you don't like, church is unfortunately sometimes no different. But that's why it's important for us to ultimately go for God, of course, and just to have fellowship with hopefully people who are going to be of substance to you. But definitely there are instances where people are just, yeah, they... I've had my share, because especially when you actually start to work in the church sometimes too, there's still jealousy from people. I'm there singing worship leading and people have a problem with that. Honestly, I don't mind if they sing lead too, but I just, at the time, the church believed I was called to that and that's what I did, and people still had a problem with that. So trust me, you don't get away from these things. I've experienced it myself. Will I totally cut off church for it? No, because of my beliefs, I've already said. But it's there, and I get why people feel that toxicness, because it's not really God, though. We can't blame God. And we can't blame true good leaders, because, like I said, people are people where you go. You're going to go to school, and you're going to find a bully still. Doesn't mean school is a horrible institution. It means that that bully needs help, and some people in church need help. Can I get an amen?
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the reasons why they didn't go, didn't feel a connection. What do you say when a guy said, I just didn't feel a connection to church?
Yeah. You know what? This goes back to our whole conversation today. The right people need to lead. The right people need to be in place. Because I think that when a church has certain issues that are like too substantial, it's because it starts with the leadership. It starts with the head. So sometimes maybe it's the wrong people in place. And maybe that's why the connection isn't there. Maybe it's something personal he's struggling with why the connection isn't there. I won't blame the church only. You know, sometimes it's ourselves. But it's very much possible to not feel that certain disconnection, that certain disconnection or connection. And that's why I think it's so important as the church for us to listen to these things and do much better, because we want to be drawing people to the church, not drawing them away from the church, you know. But at the same time, we have to hold ourselves accountable, because sometimes we're our own problem. And then sometimes it's straight up the enemy, you know, trying to just make it seem like there's no connection there. And, you know, maybe it's just our perspective, because we're being led astray by whatever he's feeding us. So we have to make sure that we kind of cover all those angles, mm-hmm. if you get what I mean.
Yes. Yeah. And another one, the building didn't offer the resources that it was supposed to offer to for people needing help with depression. Or even mm-hmm. we saw when one of the girls say a church should be thriving in a community. And if they don't have those resources, then what's the point? What are your thoughts mm-hmm. to that?
Honestly, I can't really disagree with that too much, because the church is supposed to be out there helping in those types of ways, and how much more even the people there who are giving to the church too, as she was saying, like people tithe and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very, very important to have those resources. And even so, I think we should have resources for people who aren't necessarily members too. It's unfortunate, but I've been in a situation where some churches, not all, again, this is just some, they won't even like counsel you for like marriage and stuff if you're not part of their church. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these things exist, and I don't want people to feel like I'm just saying, oh, well, basically get over it and go still. No, I think it's situational. So I think in some instances, maybe you do need to switch the church. Maybe it's just that specific church. Maybe it's us sometimes. We have to work on ourselves. But at the end of the day, I have to go by the word, and it says not to forsake coming together like that as a church. So whether it's even in your basement, in your home, or somewhere, you know, you need to get that still. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, just from my own experience too, that not every church is what they should be either. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why some of these people have left. And it's unfortunate, but I hope that the church will do better because of it, instead of, you know, just not listening to people's complaints or criticisms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like what he made. There was one guy who on the video saying it's like a food truck, basically, that, you know, that analogy with the food truck, meet people where they are. You know what I'm saying, Sarah? What are your thoughts where the church not meeting people where they are, not meeting their needs? Okay, and listeners, before she explains that, I just want to really tell the listeners out there, and Sarah said it, there's no such thing as a perfect church. I know some of you might hate going to church, and some of you may not even be spiritual, but there's no such thing as a perfect church. I love going to church, but, and you're right, there's some things about church. I agree with a lot of these things, what these people are saying. The toxicity of it, you know, like, why do you need to know if I'm married or not married? What business of it is yours? Why do you need to know if I have kids or not? Why do you know if I'm where I need to work? Why, you know, why do I need, what if I just do my own business? Well, you see, then again, it goes back to what, some people are just jealous and some people are just nosy. But again, everybody in the church has their own problems too. And another thing, to the Christians and to the backsliders out there, oh yes, I said the word backslider, because there are some people who have backslidden from church, and Lord, not even backslidden from church. And okay, and these people, and me and Sarah are going to have one more discussion about the positives that they felt leaving the church too quickly after. We're going to have that, because they gave reasons of when they left, they felt their life was better. But I want to talk to the backsliders and to the Christians that, you know, backslided altogether. Listen, I'm really sorry if you dealt with a wolf in sheep clothing. I said that there, where they said they were a Christian and they really hurt you to the point where you don't want to look at church people no more. You don't want to associate. It wasn't the church. It was that person needing some serious help. Serious deliverance. I said the word deliverance here, not preaching to people. They need some serious issues that they are going through. And sometimes when people are hurt, They do take it out of other on other people. And especially if they're struggling with the same issues as you, they take it out on you to make themselves feel better. Just saying that. I don't know if Sarah agrees with all what I said, but I just want to talk to the people that have left or angry that I'm even talking about church right now. Just think about that, okay?
Exactly. You said it all. We can't blame God, and we can't blame the church holistically, because true churches should not behave certain ways that people have been treated. And then, like you said, there's always going to be people there who basically come there because they need help. And this is why I say the leaders should be chosen more properly, because if the leaders are like that, they should not be there.
Amen.
Okay, but the people coming, they are coming from all walks of life, and they'll get there. But they need to see leaders who are leading them properly so that they can get to those places themselves, you know, because they're new converts, or they're just trying to figure out, like, who God even is. And if we have the leaders who are doing things they shouldn't be, like, that's when I think there's a serious, serious problem with the church. But if it's just, you know, Sister Lori sitting beside you, and she might be, you know, God forbid, demonically possessed or something, the church has all sorts of people, and we come there because it's supposed to be like a hospital for us to come and to heal and get better, right? I think the biggest issues come when the leaders are like that. And this is why I keep saying all night today that if these people want to step in these positions who come from a past like that, that's fine, but just make sure you're fully transformed, because it's not a joke to lead. It's a huge deal. And you can't be still battling these huge demons and be on the pulpit, because that's when we get this wishy-washy church and pastors getting into adultery and just, you know, sleeping with their congregation, sleeping with children. Like, it's horrible. And that's not a true representation of church. True church is not like that. So I love what you said.
Now, do you agree with that guy's statement? I think, did you answer the question, or did, I know I went on a tangent there, the food truck, church should meet people where they're at.
Yeah, well, to more directly answer, I don't think I really did fully, but I think that that is a great concept to use, because we are basically, like, this is what people do when they come out to the community, the church. You know, I don't think they should be in four walls. This is just an example. Like, we need to come to people sometimes, and that's how they hear of the love of God. You know, it shouldn't be restricted to just in there and whoever comes and whoever, you know, comes to you. No, like, we need to get more proactive and take initiative. And this is why people in the church, you know, some are the head of, like, evangelism, and they go out and they hand out pamphlets to people who want to actually, you know, read and are interested. Like, I think that you need just those things. And that's just an example. I know he didn't mean it maybe in that way, but I think it's great to always meet people where they're at, because, you know, everybody is at a different stage, and the leaders, especially of the church, are there to help guide people closer to God and to just, you know, be the representation of who we say we are serving. You know, be loving, be kind, you know, do what God has done for us. We're supposed to love, and that's how we show it. So meeting them where they're at, I don't see how you could go wrong with that at all.
I don't see where you can go wrong with that at all. And if there is a person, or maybe a pastor listening, or a person in church listening right now that has a problem with anything I said, well, you might have to replay it over or check your heart, because your heart not right, and it needs to be cleaned out at this time. And especially at a time when you're not going to church at time during COVID right now. This would be a time to really, you know, get, and I'm not blaming it on just church people. Sometimes, as Ms. Sarah G said, it's us too. Sometimes we're the problem too in church. Oh, yes, we're the problem in church too. And I admit, I can be a problem in church. I mean, I don't appreciate Sister Sonia nosing in my business of why I'm not married, why, you know, how come, you know, a nice looking guy like you's not married yet. Sister Sonia, what are you trying to say? Say it, girl. Say it. Ask. Yeah.
You are too funny.
So,
But these are very real things that can sometimes drive people away. But
yeah.
like you said, sometimes it's us too, because we still have to remember, it's about God mostly, and don't let anybody steer you away. Just like somebody at your job won't steer you away from that money. Sometimes you might leave, yeah, due to somebody being, a bully, but sometimes we have a lot of coworkers we don't like, and we go there because the goal is I'm gonna get paid. So the goal in church should be the very same, but directed at God. It's about God first. And if you find that a church is not the way it should be, then I'm wholeheartedly for people who believe that they need to leave that specific church. But forsaking the entire assembly itself, I am not for that.
Wow, listeners. Wow. Okay. I don't know if Ms. Sarah has time, but I did want to get her opinion on the what their responses of when they left church quickly. So I'm gonna be back in 5 minutes. All right, listeners, we are back again. Ms. Sarah G said she's having a great time on the show. Of course, she never would tell me I'm not having a good time, right?
Absolutely not. You know this.
All right, all right. So listen, I wanted you to speak, okay, as we're speaking about why I left the church, right? Okay, and again, this is Jude 3 project, I believe, of what reasons why I don't go to church. But there was one girl who made a mention too, where she just couldn't find the community. Like she moved to a new city and she just couldn't find the community of the people of what she was used to. And then she went to church as like a ritual because she had to go. What do you say to those two things?
You know what? I can relate because, when, especially if you're moving, it's hard to find, especially like when you're used to something and you go and you can't see like the same kind of thing. But I mean, I don't necessarily see a problem with her ritualistically going either. Like, because I just feel like sometimes it starts out that way, but it actually turns out to be a good thing, and maybe that ends up being her church or something, I would say that you kind of have to just let God lead, and it might take a while, it might take a short while. All I know is I have to go back to the same point that we should not leave completely like that, because it's like the comparison that comes to my mind all the time is it's like school. You go there because you need that education. We need that nourishment, and we need that fellowship with like-minded people. So I don't suggest you just go anywhere, especially if you don't think that they have the right doctrine or God is sending you there. But I think that you kind of just have to keep searching until you find the right place. And I just speak from experience because, not all the time have I been a member of a church or actually went so frequently, like every single Sunday. And then there's been times where I've went almost all week. So you have to find the place that you believe God is telling you to go. And sometimes it does take a little bit of time. But I don't see a problem with if you find something that, might not be the greatest to you, but it's still preaching sound doctrine. You might go there still just to get fed with the word. I don't see a problem with that either.
But she said, okay. But you see, it goes back. I want to point this out on what the video said. A lot of them didn't. They left the church, but I found a lot of them left religion. What are your thoughts? We didn't bring this up. What are your thoughts? Because as Lisa was talking to them, they're not opposed to going back to church. They just left the rules and religion. What is your thoughts to that?
And I think, I think she said that at the end, and everybody said, yeah, they would go back. So that is what we need to hear. The church needs to hear that and needs to apply whatever changes that's necessary, because some churches just aren't doing it right. But if they'll go, it means that maybe the church they went to was a problem. again, maybe it's themselves. I don't want to just say it one way, because sometimes it's our own selves that's an issue when we don't go to church, as I mentioned before. But I do believe that we need to, personally, my belief is relationship over religion. So it's not supposed to be like this rules, regulations, like ritualistic. No, it's supposed to be we love God so much that we make our life a lifestyle, our faith a lifestyle in him, right? So if they find that that church isn't teaching that, then maybe that's the problem, mm-hmm. you know? And if they do find the church that's not going to do that, and they go, like, I'm very happy that they go, because I think it's very important and good to go. But some people have blatantly just adoption wrong.
Now, again, listeners, I want to set this straight. This is not, we're not saying every Sunday you must be there. And if you don't go every Sunday, you're a backslider. You're the worst heathen out there in the world.
We're not saying that.
We're not saying that, because I'll tell you the truth. Some Sundays I don't go to church, and sometimes I haven't been to church either. And especially with this lockdown, where a lot of people haven't really been meeting up for church, it's very hard. And that's where one of the guys said that his relationship, and let's move into, actually, I'm glad we brought this up. They didn't go. How was their life? Now, she did a follow-up episode of how has your life improved since she, you know, since they haven't gone to church. Sorry, my grammar. So how has your life improved since you have not been going to church? You know what their answers were? Shockingly, their answers didn't seem bad at all. One girl said, it's like, I think the guy actually said, my eyes were open. And one girl with the glasses said, it's like, I can see clearly now. What are your thoughts where they're talking positively about not going? And I think, again, they're talking positively about not being caught up in religion and rules and legalism.
Well, if it's more so that, then I see what they mean. But I want to just keep stressing that I think that there are no benefits of not coming together. Whether it's, like I said, some churches are in a house, some churches are in a basement, but whatever it is, we cannot forsake coming together as believers. But I believe that maybe some of what they're feeling is because maybe they were in the wrong church, like we've talked all night here about. You know, there are some churches that are not doing things biblically or the way God wants it to be, and that has effects on people. Then sometimes it's our own selves too. So I think that if that is the case, then I see why maybe they were saying those things. But I think at the end of the day, we still have to remember it's still very important that we don't leave completely. But I think that anybody would feel better if they left a church, for example, that's telling you that something is right that's truly wrong. Because that means that that church is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit should be at the church you go to, and you will feel the difference, right? But stressing as well, like you said, the relationship aspect, because just because we go to church, we still have to have our relationship with God outside of that, and that's so important. And maybe that's what they've found by leaving. They were able to work on that, but I hope that by working on that, we still realize that we should be finding a place too, or meeting with people and having Bible studies. I know people street preach too and stuff, you know, maybe you go downtown and listen to a word or something, but I think it's so important that we don't completely leave that.
Well, one girl said with the glasses, I like her, the church toxicity, but she said she felt not depending on a third party. Like I wasn't depending on just the church. She found that when I was going, I was depending on the church. Now not going, I depend on my relationship with God more. And I know we talked about this all night. What do you say to that?
Well, I think maybe all I could say is maybe it was the wrong church, because true church shouldn't make you feel like that, you know? It's either the wrong church or something in us. But I am very happy that she now was able to work on her relationship, because ultimately we have to have a relationship with God. If nobody had a church, like, tomorrow, we have to still be so strong in our faith and with God that we are not going to be lost, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe if she cultivated that in the times, that's why she feels that way, and that's an amazing thing. But just not to lose sight on the fact to still be around believers too, because trust me, that helps. And I've been feeling personally the difference, by especially with the lockdowns and everything else, not being able to physically be in a church. You know, I wanted to, for example, dedicate my son, and I had to wait and wait and wait and wait, and it had to be done so differently because they don't allow people to come together anymore. So I think there's effects on both sides. Mm-hmm. But I can definitely see how you should be using this time to cultivate your relationship, and maybe that's what she did, like I said, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not, that's what we need most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not caught up in the small things, another girl said. I'm not caught up in, you know, the legalism. Like, I don't care if Sister Pauline was wearing this, or I don't care mm-hmm. if Sister, you know, Brother Lennox came and looked like, you know, he just got out of the club. You know what I'm saying? Not caught up in the small meaning. Oh, sorry. What word should I use? Not menial issues or just small things?
Yeah, what you said makes sense.
Not just caught up in those small things. So she said she felt freedom of that. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's just what church has really become in some instances. Mm-hmm. I won't say all churches. Some churches are really great still. But it becomes about that. And it shouldn't be that way to begin with. So, of course, anybody would feel great being away from that, because that's not how it should be, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just hope that the churches listen to those things, and if they aren't in order, mm-hmm. they should get in order. But the ones doing church right, those people who are genuinely seeking God after God and have amazing leaders, there's still some great places out there. We've got to give them kudos, because that's what they're supposed to be there for, mm-hmm. you know?
Now, okay, I'm glad the negatives about, now the guy said the dip, maybe because of the COVID-19 lockdowns and the restrictions, and you were talking about, you know, wanting to get your son christened, but you couldn't. He even said, one of the guys, saying, I felt a dip, leaving something that you're so attached to, and then all of a sudden you can't go. It really causes depression. What are your thoughts to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, because biblically it is what I'm going by, and we are not created in a way to be alone and isolated. We're not created in a way where we're not supposed to be, like, around people. Like, Adam was given Eve to not be alone, you know? So, of course you're going to feel that dip, and a lot of us have probably felt it, because that's just not how it's supposed to go. This is why people want relationships. This is why people get married, or their boyfriend and girlfriend, or they're in relationship friends-wise. You know, like, this is why these things happen. This is how we were created. We were created to be around people, to belong to a community. You know, like, God made us this way. So the fact that we don't get to do these things, it's a huge problem. I don't know if the church realizes this, or how much we as people realize this, period, but it's a huge problem. We're not supposed to be like this. So I'm hoping that things will change soon, mm-hmm. because it could be a lot. I don't want to get too deep, but that's my belief on that, and it can be a very scary thing, because that's not how God created us to be. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not supposed to be, like, isolated.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you say to the people that have probably been isolated from their family, their church family? They want to go back, and the Zoom meetings are just not the same. I don't like the Zoom mm-hmm. meetings. I miss the days where I could gather with my brothers and sisters. I miss the days where I could go to Brother Joseph's house, and, you know, where him and I as brothers can play together with the kids. I miss the men's ministry, fellowshipping mm-hmm. with other men, talking about, you know, my marriage, or talking about maybe where I'm single and I'm, you know, thinking about wanting to get married. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts, and what do you want to tell people now?
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of people are experiencing this, and people would be so surprised that you're not alone, firstly. And, you know, I always want people to feel hopeful, because that is who God is. God gives us hope. So, like, just as cliche as it sounds, but try your best to make the best of it. You know, we all have to do that to basically keep sane mm-hmm. around here. But because it's true, too, God gives us that hope. So, you know, use the time now for what we can do. Like the person in the interview was saying that, you know, she is able to build a relationship with God. Like, use this time to build that relationship. Build the relationship with the people that you can be around. You know, make the best of the Zoom calls for now, since that's what we have to do. But just know that it's not going to be forever either. And truly, truly, the main thing is to rely on God, because that is what is going to bring us through. That is what's going to give us the sanity, the hope, the love, the encouragement in these times that we need. And that's really how I've been making it through, because it's not always easy, but we make the best of it and know that God is there with us through it all.
And what do you say to the people that don't have a community or church at all, or they're not a believer, but they're really down, or they do not want to go to church at all because I can't take the judgment, I can't take telling I'm a sinner, or I don't want to give up my lifestyle, I know I feel that way, and you're going to tell me I'm a sinner? What do you want to tell to those people?
Well, I encourage them to find the people who won't do that, because, you know, not every church is like this, how we've been speaking tonight. So encourage them to find the right people. And honestly, it's the only thing that will make the biggest difference. God is the only one who can make the biggest difference. So I don't even want to, like, refer them to other things. But, of course, there's other man-made things, like they have help and different outlets that they do, right, as a community. But I'd strongly say just to find the right godly community, because that makes the difference. Positivity is amazing, but it's all that much better when you connect with your creator, and that's all it is. So you got to find the right people, and just, even if you don't want to do that, find somebody you trust, and just don't lose that connection, because we're not supposed to be alone. So just make sure you have somebody to talk to, mm-hmm. for sure.
And listeners, you always have me you can listen to, too. You can listen to my episodes. There have been 124 episodes here. I don't have it all together. I reach out to Sarah. I told Sarah the other day, I'm lonely. I need to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Find the people who are your people around, you know. There's people around, so good people around.
And she encourages me. I said, Sarah, one time I said in the song, I'm not strong. I said, you're stronger than me. I said, I can't do it. Listeners, I feel like
we all have these moments. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's great to know that you have somebody you can talk to, right?
Right. Okay, did you want to throw out your platforms again, in case there are listeners that probably want to talk maybe deeper about the topic? Maybe they feel comfortable more talking to you more, you know, from woman to woman. Maybe there's issues they're going through, because maybe there's some things that they probably want to talk about that they're maybe, I'm not saying they need to talk to me, but they probably want to talk to you deeper about your music, your faith, or church experiences.
Of course. And I'm always open to that. I do even some of my own lives and such, you know, these things. Mm-hmm. But just every social media, my handle is at Ms. Sarah G, M-Z-Z, S-A-R-A-H-G. So that's like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, my website, MrG.com. And yeah, you'll basically find me everywhere. I'd suggest Instagram mainly because I post on there a lot of new things, like videos and just to talk and encourage and all those things. But definitely you can find me on all of those. And We can stay connected.
Now, Sarah, I wanted you to ask you this. Do you think you can sing us a chorus, maybe? I'll praise him, I'll praise. Or something that maybe can encourage our hearts. Maybe not I'll praise him, but something that really can encourage our hearts in case there are listeners that haven't been to church in a while and they just want to hear something of a worship melody from you.
Well, I always sing this song. This is not my song, but I sing this song, and it's encouraging because we can't do it on our own, but God is there with us. And I always say, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. 'Cause yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. The Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, even if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, it makes a difference. One day. Do not overthink. I am an overthinker.
Me so too.
Believe me. You cannot overthink, okay? We need to stop that, D, because it is so important to trust that God will take us through. If he can create us the way he did, he can do anything. So, one day at a time, folks, just... Take it one step at a time.
You know what, Sarah? Forgot to ask you, not to take up too much of your time. What about people that are going through like a breakup right now and it's just painful for them and they just can't get over it? They want to reach out to that person, or they're still thinking about somebody that has nothing to do with them no more. What would you tell them?
Oh, let me just tell you, folks, I'm going through the same exact thing, actually a divorce. So, if you can take it from anybody, you can take it from me. If I can still stand right now, you can too. So it's not to belittle your feelings or anything. Trust me, I cry sometimes, I smile sometimes, but the thing I do is keep going. So I encourage you to just keep going, because that person, some of them aren't thinking about us. So we have to stay strong and we have to keep going, because it will get better. This is a season and a moment, and just trust that. Maybe it's perspective. So maybe we just need to think, God allowed that to happen because he has better for us, because they were not the one for us, because maybe some of those people you know right now aren't even good for you. So I know we get that feeling because I'm human too. I know it all too well, but you just have to keep going and you have to trust that God will give you better and will do better. But you know, we have to have that faith, and it's hard in challenging seasons. It's very hard to believe that better will come, but you gotta believe it. And just rely on the past, too, you know? Some of us have past where we see where God has come through for us, where we've gotten a work promotion, for example, or we had kids. Do you know how much of a blessing it is to have a kid? Some people cannot even produce kids, and if you can do that, that is a blessing. Like, just... The point is, look at the blessing of the situation and know that if that has happened before for you, God has done that for you, he can and he will do it again. And that's what I rely on, because it's challenging, trust me. And don't suppress those feelings either. I strongly believe that you should talk to somebody close that you trust. You know how you just hit me up one day, D, and you're like, you know, I'm not feeling so well or whatnot. Be very real about your feelings, but don't let that run you. You run the feeling, okay? You tell the feeling, I feel this way, but guess what? All of my breakups so far have led me to better, and it's way better for me. I wouldn't be who I am today without those. So that's how you have to look at it. And it doesn't come right away. You know, you don't feel that right away all the time, but you'll see. Time tells. It just takes time, so. One day at a time.
And that's for the listeners who are not bitter with the person, her messages.
Yes.
I'm talking to the people that are bitter and, oh, I hope you get yours. No, 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 no. Because you need to, we're not saying forget it. Yes, it really does hurt what those people did to you sometimes. It really does. But Sarah's got testimony sometimes when people end things rudely with you. Huh. Mm-hmm. You should see the testimony after. And you should hear, when you hear through the grapevine, when you leave it to God, you will say, good riddance sometimes, or thank you, Jesus, you saved me from a lifetime of heartbreak. You saved me from drugs. You saved me from something that just could destroy my life, destroy my testimony, and maybe it could have even destroyed me from finding the real man of God or the real woman of God. You know what I'm saying, Sarah?
You're saying, and it's so true, and I would encourage people to maybe even listen to other people's testimony where they're there, because right now I'm in the moment with everybody else where it's at the breakup point, but years from now, you're going to see why, and you're going to see, like what Dee just said, that it was really for your good, you know, and it's, I know it's hard and doesn't feel that way right away, trust me, I know firsthand, but you got to just have patience, which is hard, and just let God work, and you don't have to revenge, like Jonathan said, either, because whether we like it or not, we all know we get consequences for what we do wrong. It happens.
Preach that.
So they will get what's coming to them. The world calls it karma. I call it you reap what you sow. Okay?
Preach
that. That's Bible.
Preach. But you know what, Sarah? There might be a listener saying, you know what? You guys don't understand. They got away with it, and they did. And sometimes I really feel, Sarah and Donovan, they got away with it. They hurt me so bad, they got away with it.
I would say I can relate. I may not relate to that exact situation, but I can relate to that exact line you just said. It feels that way because it always looks like people prosper even when they do evil, because it doesn't happen right away. You know, consequences don't necessarily hit us over the head right away, but maybe it takes years, maybe it takes months, maybe it takes days, maybe it takes seconds. But trust me, we always get a consequence for the wrong. So you just have to trust that, believe that, and know that. And just focus on you and focus on moving forward. Because like I said, when I think about the fact that that person ain't even thinking about me, I'm just like, why am I wasting my time on them? They're not thinking about me. Let me move on with my life, as hard as it is. You know, because you really cared about the person. And, you know, I was pregnant and left. So people might not think that I know what I'm talking about, but I know to some degree, like, a lot of pain. Because I was 1 month pregnant when I was left and was cheated on my whole marriage. So I know to a lot of the degree those pains and those very words that you said, because I wanted that same thing. I'm just like, come on, God, you're letting this happen. But you just have to let God work, wait, and move on and make yourself better. Like you said something about bitter. Instead of being bitter, you have to be better. And just, you got to believe it, because what goes around does come back around to people. But we shouldn't even really necessarily hope for those things, but it's just the inevitable. You can't just do people wrong and expect to win.
Yeah. And do well.
You can.
Yeah, and do well. And Ms. Sarah, I just want to point that out to listeners. Again, we're not dismissing. We're not saying get over it. Live your life. They're happy. They've moved on. She didn't mean it like that. I just want to say there might be some listeners that say, well, what are you talking about? Just get over it. Move on. You guys are so insensitive. No, we're just saying find stuff that can, you know. Okay, for me, for example, I like radio. I like to do radio. I like to do other things. I'm not going to think about somebody that's not thinking about me. Find it's waste of my time and energy. And if I have those thoughts, I've reached out to Sarah and said, you know what? I'm thinking about somebody that's just not thinking about me. Help me to take my mind off of it, or talk to me and reassure me. Okay, and if you are thinking about that person, be a human, or you know what? Realign your mind probably to talk about it or let it out to say, you know what? Damn, I miss her. I miss Veretta or I miss Charles, or I'm just throwing out American names just in case. I miss him, or I miss Stephen. I miss his smile. I miss the way he would, talk to me. I miss my friendship with Rocky. It's okay if you have, listeners, you think I'm perfect. I've had those moments too where I think I miss them. I really, really do. So we're not saying get over it and move on. Well, yes, you should move forward. Here's the thing. Move forward, but we're not dismissing and saying forget what happened. I think a lot of people think when we say move on or move forward, we mean forget it.
And
No.
everybody's in a different place too. So some people might get help by going to counseling, therapy, talking to someone you trust. Like, there's many different ways, but the point is just don't let that feeling overwhelm you. Don't suppress it, but just make sure that you change it so that it makes you better. Because when I say that the person isn't thinking of us, it's just the harsh reality. If they were, they would treat us better. So we just have to focus on us, move forward, do better. And trust me, it gets better with time.
Yes. And and even listeners, if it still hurts, whether it's 13, 20 years, just keep praying about it and just, what do you call it? Keep living your life. And again, like she said, it doesn't mean, move forward, meaning she does have a point. They're not thinking about you, or else they would have never done that to you in the first place. But again, we already said it really does turn around on them,
Always.
especially if they're not a child of God. I put the E especially if they're
Of
not a
course.
child of God. So that's,
Always.
that's what me and Ms. Sarah are encouraging you listeners out there dealing with heartbreak, dealing with abuse, dealing with somebody, that's maybe some of you are listening right now and your girlfriend slept with your husband. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know it hurts. And you let me talk to you, girl. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. I would look out and say, I know it hurts. And I'm really sorry that happened to you. But God knows why. And I'm telling you will be an amazing testimony if you are a Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, you know what? I understand it hurts still. Write it out. Talk to people about it. Say, you know what? He cheated on me and it was with my best friend. Talk about it. Talk
Yeah,
about
this
it.
is stuff you need to talk about for sure.
Yes.
I don't agree with people who just think, just shove it under the rug. No, it can affect you later. Talk about it, and even that sometimes makes the difference.
Yes. It makes a difference me talking about it with Sarah on the show. See, listeners, I still
Yeah.
have issues. You think I'm perfect too? I still have issues. I don't put too much of my personal business out there, but I've been betrayed and burned in
Oh,
friendships too.
yes.
Burned
Yep.
by people who said they love me and said they're Christian and then they just walked away. But it happens. It's life. I'm not saying they're right either, and I didn't say they were right. I want to clarify, Sarah, you never heard me once say they were right to do that to you, or
No,
just what do you
no,
call?
no,
We're
no.
not excusing wrong behavior because sometimes we can be understanding to people who've done us wrong, but we can't be too understanding to the point where we're excusing their behavior. It's
You
not okay.
forgive,
Yeah.
but people say you don't forget. And
Yes.
I take that as you forgive, but you still aren't going to just unwisely allow them to burn you again. You know,
Yes.
you have to be wise enough to protect yourself in the
Yes.
future.
Rocky, I forgive you, but I kind of would love to move forward with us. If you want to talk, if you want to say hello to me, you can, but I am not rushing the same way, Rocky, to talk to you the way I used to. I think I've said enough about that. Do you think I've said enough
I
about
think they
that?
understand, so I
I
think they'll
think they
appreciate our
understand.
detail.
All right. So, listeners, listen. If you want to reach me, Donovan, Donovan, period, LACROXI at gmail.com. Tell me if you want Ms. Sarah G back on the show. I imagine, of course, she'll always come back. She's a friend of ours. And Ms. Sarah G,
Definitely.
any quick things you would like? Do you want to throw out your platforms just one more time in case listeners miss that? Because we went on a tangents after.
Of course, of course. Hopefully it helps somebody, but it's MrG.com. and every handle on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything at Ms. Sarah G. M-Z-Z, Sarah with an H, G.
Okay, 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 listeners. That's going to do it for another episode. We're at episode 124. And again, listeners, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling depressed right now, there's 124 episodes of the podcast. Or I work at a radio station. You can listen to CJRU 1280 AM morning mixtape, Donovan LaCroixie, if you are just feeling a little bit of a funk right now. You can listen to the morning mixtape on CJRU 1280 AM where I work. And I'll only throw that out on this episode, not every episode. Okay, listeners? And Ms. Sarah G, thank you very, very much. And I wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Donovan. It was a pleasure. And good night to all listening.